96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The new acting attorney general, Dana Bente, is ordering the Justice Department to defend President Trump's executive order on travel and immigration. Bente was appointed after previous acting attorney general Sally Yates was fired last night. Yates, an Obama appointee, had said she believed the immigration order was unlawful and she would not enforce it. It is the latest political twist that began late Friday. The president's executive order threw airport terminals into a bottleneck chaos. Seven mostly Muslim countries named in a 120-day immigration vetting process. We're talking about that tonight and the impact on the nation. My guests are D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, Howard University Political Science Professor Dr. Lorenzo Morris, and D.C. ACLU Legal Director Arthur Spitzer. Lines are open if you have a comment or question about the executive order on immigration and travel. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum, WHUR, or H. Fisher, WHUR. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank
okay.
you.
Before I get into that, I need to quickly ask you, Congresswoman Norton, about something that happened on the Hill today during the Oversight Committee hearing. Utah's Jason Chaffetz made a comment about merging Maryland and D.C. so that D.C. could get a congressional representation. A joke, right?
Well, we made a joke of it. But frankly, it's not unusual to find some Republicans who feel that there is something wrong with 700,000 people, number one, in taxes paid to the federal government per capita, not having representation in the Senate and House. So for years, ever since I've been in Congress, there has been a contingent of members who say, well, why don't we give them back to Maryland? They came from Maryland. Well, I made a joke of it because I said, did you ask Maryland? See, I don't think, to tell you the honest to goodness truth, and they are very close allies of the district, that Maryland relishes another big city. It only has one, Baltimore. That would change a lot about Maryland. And I don't think there is any state that wants you to change how they operate by taking another great big city into the state. The district has been clear. Mm-hmm. Residents just voted something like 85%. The district wants statehood for the District of Columbia.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that the position was firm there. So thank you so much. Let us move on, certainly, to the issue at hand. And I really want to start with you, Professor Morris. Is this a Muslim ban? Is this an immigration ban? The administration said last week that it was. Now, today, Sean Spicer, the White House spokesperson, said that it wasn't, and he called it a ban because the media was calling it a ban. How do you see it?
Well, I see it as a ban, but I don't have to use that term. I see it as discriminatory in ways that insult what I think are traditionally well-established American principles. For one thing, to designate countries by national origin seems to me to have an illegal focus. But in addition to that, just in terms of the sheer politics of human relations, that meaning the politics that goes along with good human relations, to make yourself the enemy or the negative target of groups of people from around the world who have not engaged in, as a group, hostile actions is really problematic. Remember, of these countries, I don't think there is a single immigrant that from those countries that has been culpable for a murderous terrorist act in the United States. And more importantly, there are a lot of other countries from which more numerous actors in terrorism have come. So the point here is that there is no immediate justification for targeting these people. And more importantly, the deliberate starting point, their terms were banned, the terms of this presidency, and the image they deliberately intend to protect. project, only to excuse it when they are under threat, is that they are somehow excluding people whose religions are, whose religious activity is associated so heavily with something that is negative by them that they would contaminate the whole religion and all of the actors under that religion for these countries.
Let me go quickly to DC ACLU legal director Arthur Spitzer. Arthur, we spoke to you yesterday, and the legal challenges, the lawsuits were piling up. They're probably as high as three or four yellow page phone books right now. What's the latest on the lawsuits today?
Yeah, I actually haven't heard of any developments today. There were injunctions entered in five courts, I think, over the weekend, one of which from New York was nationwide in scope, prohibiting the United States government from sending people back, people who were detained at airports coming in, prohibiting them from sending them back until the court had more time to consider legal arguments and make a more permanent decision. So those injunctions are still in effect. Some people were sent back even before those orders issued, and efforts are being made to try to get them back here. And other people are still being held at airports, and we understand that there's been some trouble in some cases getting them access to lawyers to be able to meet and talk with them, and we've been working on that in the course of the last couple of days. But so those cases are all still going forward, and I know of several other cases that have been filed around the country.
And as a matter of fact, just about an hour or so ago, Virginia has joined a lawsuit challenging that immigration order. And so, you know, and with that said, you know, Congresswoman Norton, you know, a lot of people, you know your work on Capitol Hill, but we need to continue to remind them that you are also, you know, a constitutional scholar, professor. Constitutionally, legally, on the face of this, what is happening with these executive orders? Is this legal or is it illegal, as Yates has suggested? Is the legality really depending on what side of Capitol Hill you sit on?
Well, not really, but I can understand the confusion. And if I could say to Mr. Spitzer, my first job out of law school was working for the ACLU.
Yes, you're famous in the ACLU for having been one of us.
So I've been a constitutional lawyer all my life, it seems to me. Look, the most serious problem with this order is it seems to give preference to minority religions. There's something called the First Amendment, and we do not allow religion to be a standard in our country. Now, frankly, the president does have rather complete authority over who gets into the United States or not.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are dealing with an administration that does not even bother to vet its own decisions with the agencies you must talk to, the State Department, certainly the Justice Department, before you decide that you're going to put something down on paper. I must tell you, I can't remember when I have seen a flurry of courts all going the same way with temporary restraining orders. Now, normally, temporary restraining orders means that there's a good chance that those who are bringing them will prevail. I am not sure that that is the case.
But I guess my question is, but is what he's doing or what he did Friday with the executive order, is that legal? I mean,
we certainly think it's not. I agree with what Delegate Norton just said. And in addition to that, the immigration statute passed by Congress prohibits discrimination based on national origin. So there's the religion angle, which is constitutional, but singling out seven countries to bar their citizens from coming here violates the law that Congress passed. So we think that's also a reason why this executive order can't be enforced, and so far the judges have agreed with us. And I might add, you mentioned Virginia. I saw something a few hours ago this afternoon. The state of Massachusetts has also now moved to intervene in the ACLU lawsuit in Boston on our side, because the Massachusetts governor and attorney general have also concluded that this executive order is unlawful.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about President Trump's immigration executive order signed last Friday. As you know, there were protests around the country at airports. There were bottlenecks at airports, not only here in the United States, but also overseas. And, of course, there was the firing of Acting Attorney General Sally Yates last night. I want to get into that as well. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. Andrea calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Andrea. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm, like so many other people, are really confused by this order. And why would you put it in place without even having a solid plan on how to effectively carry it out if it was even deemed legitimate? But, you know, this is my personal opinion. Of course, I'm not a lawyer or anything like that, but it's not legitimate. And it is out now, outright discrimination. It's not keeping people out. You know, there's not a threat of safety. And then when you look at things from a real human perspective, you know, the media puts out there that the people that are Sunnis or Shiites, they're all extremists, which they're not. There are more Muslims than there are Christians. It is the number one religion in the world. And so a few people that are radical, and some of the people, I mean, just from a human perspective, are not radical. If you come in and tear up my country, why do you think I wouldn't retaliate? Why do you think, I mean, you push people into a corner to violence and you get upset when they retaliate?
Well, Andrea, let me see if we can kind of break down exactly what this executive order says or is supposed to do. Dr. Morris, do you have some thoughts about exactly what does it say?
Well, I wouldn't hesitate to try to interpret it as a legal document because I'm not a lawyer, but I think that it's what it says in the world where other countries have taken strong stands on recruiting or accepting refugees when it's been a critical issue. The refugee question is something that the United Nations has taken up, and I know this administration is not fond of the United Nations, but there is an clear unity of Western countries on openness to refugees who are in crisis. Remember that as a group, these are people who have very few choices, and that refugees are not directly associated with terrorism. It is those are frequently Americans. They're frequently people who live in some of the countries not included. But refugees are the most vulnerable people. I saw a sign on one of the protesters said that Jesus Christ was a refugee, whether the technical statement is correct or not. That is the kind of image that the United Nations, to which the United States has ascribed, has seen of them.
But again, what does it say? Because we've had some issues regarding green cards, green card holders. We've had, issues related to, and we've heard so many anecdotal stories, Congresswoman Norton, about American citizens naturalized American citizens who happened to leave before this happened and now can't get home, you know, even though they are still considered American citizens just because they were naturalized from other places.
Now, Mr. Spitzer may even have the language before him. But look, on television, the chief of staff,
Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus said, going forward, green card people are not included. So what does that say to you? Mm-hmm. That the order was drafted so poorly and unprofessionally, perhaps even said green card people who are, of course, entitled to all of the rights of citizenship, were included. So as we think about this, given the authority of the president, and you look at all these courts going the other way, I could see a court essentially rewriting this order or trying to come to some accommodation with the administration. They say they need 2 weeks because the ACLU has got them cornered. So the administration needs 2 weeks just to sort out what its response would be. I think they ought to come out with their hands up.
I need to take a break. I'll let you finish your point in just a second. If you're on the phone, please stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the immigration and travel ban, the executive order signed by President Trump last Friday. Stay with us. We will get to your question. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.